Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly Podcast. Please, lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Well, hello, Weekly Tiers. We are coming to you. We're recording here from DCA. We're hanging out in what Teg is now calling the Carthay Circle. It's kind of like the hub, right? The entrance that we're looking
at.
It's
the water fountain area in front of Carthay Circle. We're actually sitting in front of the Fiddler Pfeiffer and Practical Cafe at one of the tables here, just for something different. We haven't really done stuff here very much. So we're going to talk about our time at Disneyana and what our trip has been like and all of that.
So, to kick things off, we came in on Friday, midday.
Midday.
We touched down in Santa Ana about 1 o'clock, got to the hotel, and then the first thing we did was kind of an unexpected thing, and it was really special. It was a first for both of us. We got to go and check out the Company D store. So, for those of you that don't know what Company D is basically...
A cast member store.
It's like an outlet store, but for cast members only. They had an event going on where friends and family members of cast members were able to go and shop as well. So we
went
and
took the flyer.
Yep, there was a special flyer that you had so that they knew you were on the list, in essence.
Yeah.
So we went and checked it out. Teg laughed at me because I was like instantly overwhelmed.
You weren't even past the entrance,
no.
And you were already like, oh,
it was
gosh.
A much larger store than I thought. I've recently gone to both of the character warehouse locations. Well, I went to two of the character warehouse locations in Florida. I believe there's three. I went to two. And Company D had more stuff than both of those character warehouse locations did combined. And, like, it felt to me like total square footage was also more. It was way bigger than I thought it was going to be. As soon as you thought, like, oh, this is the store, you'd kind of, like, work your way around and be like, oh, but there's another room over here. And, oh, there's another nook over here.
So there was a lot of nooks and crannies,
lots,
for sure.
Lots and lots of stuff. There was stuff, I'm trying to think what all we saw. We saw Haunted Mansion-themed stuff. We saw... lots of Star Wars stuff.
There was stuff from the half marathon weekend. There was stuff from Sweethearts Night.
There was a cast member specific spirit jersey that was available. Mm-hmm. So you never know.
There was stuff from Christmas.
There was some Christmas stuff. We saw some Halloween stuff. Lots of different ornaments.
Yeah.
Pins, of course. Tons and tons of clothes, mainly. Lots of ears, which was very exciting for me.
To give you an idea, I bought a couple pins. Teresa bought more than a couple pins. And that was because the rack that we bought most of the pins from were $2.99 for all these pins.
Yeah, I bought a bunch
in the park. Would have been like
$14,
$15.
Yeah. So I beefed up my pin trading collection. I did buy a couple of pins that were for my personal collection. But anyways, amazing experience. Super fun. We both made a mistake. And
I don't think it's a mistake at all.
It's a mistake, and now it's a project. But we bought these really awesome artworks pieces. Basically, they look like a giant ticket framed.
From opening day.
And I don't know how we got this deal, but to give you an idea of the deal, like the deals that you can get here, this was originally $75 if you bought it either online or in the stores here at the resort. We got it for $15, so we couldn't pass that up.
Well, I had to bribe Teresa into it, because I was at the register, and I'm like, you know you want one.
Yeah, my concern is obviously it's bigger than what we could get in our suitcase, so it's the whole, but how are we going to get it home part? But anyways.
It doesn't matter. It was a great deal.
Wonderful, wonderful experience there. So thank you to our hidden Mickey that connected us with being able to go and experience that, because we had a ton of fun.
But they had, like, spirit jerseys. They had lounge fly backpacks. I don't know. They just had a lot of stuff.
So, I guess, okay, what all did I get? I got a spirit jersey. I got Vern a button-up shirt. I got lots of pins. I got a set of ears, that framed thing, and I spent $100.
Yeah. Yeah, I got three pins, I think, and the frame poster, and I think it was like $30 maybe. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Something we didn't talk about that I just wanted to mention... People who listen may not find this that interesting, but I just laugh about it. When we flew out,
I got 12 pins total, like they 12 sets.
De-iced our plane in Minneapolis, and then we arrived here and it was nice. So I just want to point that out, that like, weather difference, it's beautiful here. On the day we're recording this, we're actually recording this on Monday, and it's overcast today, but it's like perfect park weather, because you're wonderful. Not getting that sun blaring in your face all day that really kind of makes you tired, gives you sunburn, but also it's warm enough, you know, it's overcast but warm enough with like a slight breeze. It's been really nice. So after the character warehouse, to back up a little bit, we took the Anaheim Resort Transit from the hotel, from the Howard Johnson we're staying at, as always. Go to dlweekly.net and click on the link and use one of the promo codes there to get a discount to stay at the Hojo. We always recommend them. And we took the Anaheim Resort Transit over there. Really easy, really slick. We got over there. They have an on-demand service that wasn't quite working the way we wanted it to, so we actually ended up walking back, but it wasn't even that far. If you walk or do any of the Run Disney stuff, like, you could walk from the resort area over to Company D if you had that. If you end up being able to opportunity to get over there, you could. And back, and it wasn't too bad. What did we do that afternoon?
So that afternoon, we went into the parks, of course. So we were very fortunate every day that we are here. We were able to get park reservations. We did not have any blackout dates, which was awesome because that was not the case last year. So we'd have to find non-Disney park things to fill our time with, which was very fun, too. So we decided to take advantage and visit the parks at least every day for part of the day, if not the full day. So I immediately... Tag has been laughing at me because I've been watching the progress. They are building a Pixar Fest statue type thing in the middle of
It's a Christmas Tree Point.
No. The one that's
you're talking about the one in the middle, yes.
So there's multiple. We knew about the one that is where the Mickey pumpkin usually goes, where the Christmas tree goes. We knew that that was coming. I had not heard anything about this one, this giant thing, structure being built in the middle of the Esplanade. So each day that we've been here, I've been checking it out. I've been taking photos because each day...
She's going to have a time lapse at the end,
more and more. It's coming together more and more. Same thing with when we walked into Disneyland. We were surprised to see the stained glass structure that's celebrating Pixar Fest starting to take shape already. And again, even just in the first 2 days we were here, it went from having construction walls around it to being like half built to having the construction walls taken down being fully built, with just needing the flowers, and I believe
the
flowers are there now. So in 3 days, it went from bit by bit by bit to basically completed. And let me tell you, they are beautiful. The stained glass effect that they've got on it is just, yeah, it's gorgeous.
It is, it is. We ended up meeting up with a weekly tier, and we watched Magic Happens, which is always a great parade. We watched it in front of the Emporium, which was beautiful because on that day, it was sunny. And so we got to sit in the shade and watch the amazing performers for Magic Happens. We've covered that numerous times on the podcast. If you haven't had a chance to see it and you happen to be in the parks while it's running, definitely make sure you see it. It is a wonderful parade. We haven't talked about this, but I really want to try to catch it one more time while we're here because I do really enjoy the parade. I don't know if we'll have time, but we should definitely try to catch
it
because it's fun. Well, there you go.
After Magic Happens, we decided we're trying to do different things. We're trying to not get the same foods and like go to the same spots.
I feel targeted with you saying this. By the way, just so you're aware, the reason I'm making that comment, I just finished, we've been here 3 days, two of which were half days, and I have just finished my fifth pickle.
Yeah, which also not normal. He does not normally have this many pickles during a trip.
I usually have one per trip, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm on a kick. Anyway.
And you found something in the Food and Wine Festival
we'll
that you
talk
had
about
to get
later, yes.
Seconds of two. So, but anyways, we decided to go check out Tiana's Palace. So I had the Cajun spiced half chicken, which was served with baked macaroni and cheese and coleslaw. And there was kind of like a spicy relish pickle mix on the side too with it. Delicious. Hey, okay, we're going to start with this. Very, very, very large portion. If they could have just done like a quarter of a chicken, or if I could have just had like a Cajun spiced chicken breast, that would have been much more my size. But yeah, very, very good. I really enjoyed it. The other thing that I got, of course, you all know me, was the cold brew. It's the Joffrey's Chicory cold brew, and wow, new favorite for me. If you've ever had chicory blend coffee, maybe you've visited New Orleans and you've had chicory blend coffee before, it's a much more unique and different flavor than just what straight up
coffee.
What
is chicory?
Chicory is another, like, it's another, like, bean or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So instead of it just being coffee beans, the chicory is in there as well.
Sorry, I'm going to pull you. Have you ever seen this lady with this fake dog on Buena Vista Street? She's walking with the police guy over here. And she's got a dog in her arms that's obviously,
like a puppet dog.
I've never seen her before.
I don't think I've met her before.
Anyway, sorry.
But anyways,
usually Teresa is this person.
The cold brew, yeah, like I said, new favorite. It's not too sweet, and it's the chicory flavor really comes out, which it's just, I can't even, I should have had you try it, Tag. It is a more coffee forward flavored cold brew. It's
sure.
not like hit you in the teeth with the sweet at first cold brew like some of them are. It is more for like the coffee lovers, I guess. So if you're a person that likes coffee with a little bit of a cream, this is the one for you. If you're someone that's like, I don't like the flavor of coffee, I like the flavor of creamer with a little bit of coffee, this one will probably have too much of that coffee flavor for
you. That probably would have been me.
But it was very smooth. And like I said, I should have had you try it just because the chicory gives it a different flavor, a different
Then I would have had a better idea what chicory was.
Exactly.
I had the shrimp and grits, which I was concerned was going to be too spicy. For anybody who doesn't like spice, there was like no spice to this, just so you're aware. No spice, like
well,
at all.
Same thing, you were kind of worried about my Cajun spiced chicken, which it was almost
also
more
no
of
spice.
Like a sweet like spice blend, not a like burn your tongue off spice
yeah.
blend. It was really, really nice.
Yeah. The shrimp and grits were really good. I thought the shrimp, sometimes shrimp can be overcooked and be kind of like tough or rubbery, and it wasn't that way at all. It was very good. They have kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it other than like almost like a marinara kind of seeming sauce also on the shrimp and grits. It was very good. The grits themselves can sometimes be like oatmeal-y and weird, but it was actually very, very good. It was a Creole sauce Teresa's showing me here. But the grits themselves were really like creamy and rich.
One might say cheesy.
Cheesy, yeah, but it was creamy. Like I didn't get a lot of like cheese necessarily, but it was good. I also got the side of the cornbread, which was very good. Teresa had some with butter. I didn't have to put butter on it. I thought it was fine without butter.
No, I tried it with and without because usually I'm a butter with my cornbread type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to try it without though because it was very, very, it was dense, but it wasn't crumbly like cornbread can sometimes be, which is why I feel I want the butter on it.
Sure.
But yeah, it was very, very, it was rich.
And
it was almost like more like a cakey texture.
Yeah. The Weekly Tea that was with us actually went and they got the gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the gumbo, now for me, again, we're talking about spice, it was a little on the spicy side for me. Like, I don't think I could have finished a whole plate of it. But the one bite I had, I thought was really rich. Had like a really good deep flavor,
mm-hmm.
which you wouldn't really expect from like theme park food, even Disney theme park food, but it was very, very good. Anybody who doesn't mind spice, great option.
The other thing that I had forgotten was another thing I wanted to try. We're going to have to go back to Tiana's Palace, but there's also the beef po' boy sandwich that we had talked about quite a bit on the show that we were excited about but forgot to try, which always next time, right? There's always next time.
We walked over to the construction walls of of Haunted Mansion where Teresa had a moment, but we enjoyed using our magic bands and doing the interactive wall there, which was actually really cool. The tip here, just so you guys are aware, because we were kind of struggling with it a little bit, is if the magic band reader doesn't have the white light spinning around it, it won't read your magic band, so you have to wait for it to be in that mode. And every time it was in that mode, scanned our magic band just fine. Went through a selection of sounds and stuff. It was pretty cool. What did you think?
I think it was fun. The thing that I was the most excited about, which I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or if we were just talking about it there, is that the thing that makes me the most happy about this is that apparently this technology must not be too difficult or complicated to do to have installed on something like an interactive construction wall. Not even an interactive wall that's going to, you know, it's not a wall that's like permanently going to be there. That's a permanent fixture. This is something that's temporary. And really, the timeline for what the construction for the Haunted Mansion is, which if you see it right now, I don't understand how this is supposed to be the timeline. But it seems like rumors are saying that the Haunted Mansion is going to be opening up for the Halloween season. Which, again,
which
I don't know
August.
How that's possible because it is. I'm stealing this from Fresh Baked.
4 months, though.
I'm stealing this from Fresh Baked. He named this giant pile of dirt that's there. That's like, you don't understand how giant this pile of dirt is until you see this giant pile of dirt, which is what had stopped me in my tracks when we were walking, because you can also see the giant pile of dirt when you're just walking along the normal pathways.
Taller than the walls.
He's called it Mount Gracie, which I think is brilliant and, like, perfect.
There's, so, like, a mini Mount Gracie, there's too. There's a smaller one next
to it. There's two of them. That's, like, Little Leota or something. But I just...
That's a good one.
Like, it's just... It is. It's just dirt piles and excavators still, and it feels like it's been dirt piles and excavators for a while.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard to, like... think it's gonna be done.
But when did it close? Did it close at the end of January?
Something like, yeah.
So that's, so from closing to now it's been 4 months. From now to when it's supposed to open is 4 months. So we're about halfway through.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
There wasn't a lot of people. I mean, it was a Friday. There wasn't anybody working on it. There wasn't anybody working on it.
No, there was nobody working. There was nothing that we could see going.
Yeah.
However, want to talk about getting things that were being worked on. We did see lots of work going on at Tiana's Bayou Adventure. That is looking, I'm really excited. Like, seeing it in person, we both had a little bit of fear in the beginning since they're just repurposing an existing attraction.
Yeah.
And transforming it into a new experience.
They took off the tree stump, but it looks fine.
Would it kind of feel like what Splash Mountain was? I don't think so, because, like, it looks very different. They're painting it green. They've got all of the foliage going on. It looks really, really great in person. And it's, like, to the point that you kind of, like, looking at it, you kind of forget that the tree was where the tree had been and, you know, all that stuff. So I think that's really good.
We saw Imagineers up there because they're the ones with that, like, kind of brown.
That, like, coppery,
dark copper color. They were up there.
Construction hats, the hard hats.
Yeah, working on it. So that was really cool to see. Yeah, so we went and saw all of that, kind of hung out over by Harbor Galley, which, by the way, if you're in that area at all, we'll talk about it later, but if you're in that area at all, the cookie smell is everywhere.
It is.
It is, like, anybody who's been on the Incredicoaster and you're on that hill with, like,
cookie num-nums.
That whole area smells like that.
Yeah.
And the line... Since we kind of walked over by there, the line was around the corner and all through that, like, little hidden walkway thing. Like, it was there quite a ways back. So we made a note to when we were wanting to get them to mobile order them, because that was a long line.
And we ended the evening, which this is just so funny to me. We ended the evening by going back to the Black Spire outpost of Batu and went to go watch the fireworks from back there. So... As we all know, the Season of the Force, they were promising that there was going to be a fireworks, that we're going to have music sync to the fireworks show. Specifically, they designed the music to sync with the Pixar Together Forever fireworks show. So we're back there, we're watching the fireworks, and we're like, oh, this kind of goes pretty well. And we were joking, because it was supposed to be Mickey's Mixed Magic was the fireworks show, was what the app, what online, and everyone had said it was. We're like, wow, Mickey's Mixed Magic doesn't look too bad with this. I wonder what it's going to look like when it's the real, you know, the actual one it's supposed to sync to.
And
then
you
we're sitting there.
Wait. And you and I are trying to figure out what part of this is Mickey's Mixed Magic, because...
Is this the Coco scene?
Yeah,
is
it had been a while.
Scene? Like, we were trying to piece together what it was. And especially because you're watching it from a different view.
Different music, which adds a bit different thing.
And you're seeing them, like... from a much, much, much different angle, so they look, they're like...
And no projections.
Different looking. So we're trying to... Anyways, we're having fun with it. Well, fast forward to that night when we're getting ready for bed, I was flipping through my social medias, and I see everyone's like, they did a sneak preview of the Pixar Fest Together Forever fireworks, and I'm like, dang it! We were right there! And I was just... I thought we missed our opportunity. Spoiler alert, we'll forward ahead. We'll talk about it in greater detail later. They did special previews, not only Friday night, but also Saturday night and Sunday night. So we did get to catch one of the special previews of the Pixar Fest Together Forever fireworks show. So I thought we missed our chance, and we just were at the, like, right place, wrong area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, right time, wrong place type of thing.
The other thing that we tried to look for this night was, I am on the hunt for the hoodie that looks like the Star Tours cast member uniform that's for Season of the Force as well.
Oh, we should go check that today.
We should. All they had was extra small, small, and I think one medium at the Star Traders. And then we decided to take the monorail over to Downtown Disney because we're like, why not? So we took the monorail over to Downtown Disney to go to the trading post, and they also didn't have any in the size we needed. So
it's been a very popular item.
So we've tried for a couple days, but they didn't have it. I ended up buying a different sweater because I thought it'd be easy to get that one, so I didn't bring my sweater with me into the park that day.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we had to do a thing. But anyway, moving on to what, day two now?
Yes, day two. So day two was the first day of Disneyana. The Disneyana convention, however, did not start until that afternoon. So we decided to start our morning in Disneyland, of course. So we went and stopped by the Jolly Holiday for breakfast. I had the strawberry stuffed croissant with an iced mocha. That strawberry stuffed croissant, it is a seasonal item right now. They need to make it a permanent menu item. It was so good. If you get a chance, I don't know how long it's here, but you gotta try it. If you have a chance, try the strawberry stuffed croissant. It was amazing.
People should know this, but I just want to clarify because we were even a little confused. I ended up getting the Jolly Holiday combo for breakfast. Even though it says it's on the same menu that says after 10:30, you can get it at any time during the day. So I ended up getting that. We went out. It was great.
A drink too.
Oh yeah, I had the iced tea. They had like an iced tea with like a whipped topping, which was fine. It tasted exactly like it sounds. It was a sweet iced tea with like a whipped cream on top. So it was fine. It tasted good. I don't know if it's something to like go out of your way to get, because sure, it's something you could even make at home, I think. But Teresa was able to find a lovely seat for us, because for whatever reason, when we've had to try to find seats on this trip so far, we haven't had a lot of trouble finding places to sit to eat and everything, which is not normally the case. So we've been pretty lucky. So we finished breakfast. We went over and did the Jungle Cruise. And what was cool about that was we ran into a cast member in the queue.
Oh, yeah.
And I joked with her because she was splitting the two sides to go in the front or the back of the boat. And I said, well, you should be giving us some Jungle Cruise jokes, but only limited to the line. And boy, did this cast member deliver.
She delivered hard.
She had 10 jokes, yeah, probably.
And I
just
think
right off the tongue.
Of all the 10, like the 10 that she gave us, there was only one that I had heard before.
Yeah, yeah. She was wonderful. So we immediately, before we even got on the boat, cast member complimented her through the app, because she was amazing. Unfortunately, the skipper that we had in the Jungle Cruise was not to her level, but it was still enjoyable.
Okay, but the weird fun thing that we got to experience on the Jungle Cruise is we were joking that perhaps they had popped a breaker or something, because
yeah,
when we rounded the bend through the elephant bathing pool, everything was fine and normal, but when we got to the camp that has been taken over by like the chimpanzees,
yeah,
it's got the flipped over Jeep.
They're having trouble trying to get their Jeep to turn over.
Yep, that scene, they were all frozen. So they must have been waiting to have their photos taken, because they were all perfectly still, yeah, as we went through there. Even the last ape that's like reaching and swinging, trying to get the bananas that are floating there. So that was new. That was a new experience.
Yeah.
But yes, they were just patiently waiting and being very still for all of us to take their photos, I think, is what was going on there.
The rest of the attraction was fine. It was just this one section, which
just
was kind of strange.
Section.
And we've had it before where one or two animatronics are having issues, yeah, something, but this was like a whole section. So, like I said, I think something like a breaker or something electrical with that area, because I don't think it was anything related to any particular specific
sure
character or animal in there. So we had a good time.
Yeah, it was the whole scene. Next up, we went on the wildest ride in the wilderness and took a trip around Big Thunder Mountain.
It must have been right after it opened from being closed, though, because
yeah,
there was almost no line, and we were able to get on it pretty quick. But they had a lot of trains running, too.
Yes, yes, they did. We also then went over to the Mark Twain. We wanted to do a little bit more surveying of the, I'm going to call it damage right now, the damage being done to the queue at the Haunted Mansion. What is
a better view of Mount Gracie?
Better view of Mount Gracie. Actually, I think the better view of Mount Gracie is from the walkway, which is crazy because
yeah,
the few remaining trees, which we're not going to go into that because we don't have enough time, the like two remaining trees that are in that area are blocking Mount Gracie, the view of Mount Gracie from the Rivers of America. Whereas, yeah, there's, you guys, this is just, There's like two, I'm not kidding, I'm not even exaggerating. There's like two, maybe three trees that have survived in that area, it feels
it's true.
Like.
It's just, true. Teresa is not exaggerating.
It's, I know it's for a reason, but it's hard because, man, those trees. And so now Teg's been giving me a hard time because every time I see like the cool, like different cool old trees, I'm like, they better not touch this tree.
You know,
I was thinking, like the trees that are on either side of the train station when you walk in, on either side of the floral Mickey, I'm like, if they take these trees and take them.
Well, I told Teresa, I said, you know, I said, I have to think that if they're going to do this, you're going to show up and like tie yourself to it and be like, you can't take it.
Nope, not doing it. Don't do
we
it.
We ended up, what was funny was we were on the train before our meetup yesterday. We came into the park, we were a little early, so we just hopped into Disneyland and did a Grand Circle tour quick. And of course, they're still stopping at the New Orleans Square station. You can't get off or anything, but they stopped there to re-put water and stuff to deal with the steam engines. And Teresa's like, well, they haven't taken this tree. And I'm like,
really, really, really cool tree that's back there. Really,
and I said,
cool
Teresa, like, they didn't take everything. Like, it's sitting out of the construction zone.
Here.
So
Poor trees. But anyway, so we took a trip to survey what we could see of what was going on behind the construction walls at the Haunted Mansion. And then I'm going to let Tag talk about the next one because you were real excited about what we did before we then made our way over to the Disneyana conference.
I mobile ordered the cookies finally because
the
smell...
cookies from Harbor Galley.
The smell... You can't... It's like popcorn. You can't not get it once you've smelled it. And people have been so aghast at these that we had to try them, of course. I thought that they were pretty good.
They need to serve milk here.
Milk was the thing that Teresa and I agreed on.
They need to serve milk.
That the milk would have been helpful. But also, like, they were good. Like, I understand why people like them.
They're gooey on the inside. They're very chocolatey.
I don't think I need to get them every time, though.
At the size. I'm glad they were the size they were. Because you can only order them in a 6-pack or a 13-pack. And I want to say it was probably like a, 2.5-inch diameter cookie.
Yeah.
So I like it was smaller than I thought it was, which worked out well because then 6 made more sense because I was kind of like, what are we gonna do with all these cookies? Well, we'll just snack on them at Disneyana, I guess. We'll just have to bring them with. But it was just a couple of bites per cookie.
So then we headed on over out of the park and took again the Anaheim Resort Transit over to the Disneyana event, which is at the Farrah Hotel this year. It's actually moving
which was at the Farrah Hotel
to a new location next year.
It's a new location this fall.
Next time they have the Disneyana event, it will not be at the Hotel Farrah like it has been the last few events. And we got over there and went in to go in because on the first day it's a lot of their presentations with people, and then there's a dinner and then some more presentations and interviews of the award recipients and stuff like that. So we showed up.
So the first presentation was done by Kevin Kidney, and Dennis was the other gentleman's name. Kevin is of Kevin and Jody. He is half of the duo that creates, like, they're very well known in currently because of all of the collectibles that they design. But they did work for Disney previous to that. They helped with designing some of the things in parades and different things that you see around the resort. Characters that you know and love, they may have helped with that are in like parade and entertainment things. Currently, they're doing more of the collectible side, which their collectibles are just beautiful, just absolutely stunning. But Kevin and Dennis did a presentation called Fond Memories of Disney Legends, who's helped in preserving Walt's legacy. So they talked about different people that they had the pleasure of having some sort of special moment, memory, or relationship with that
Lots
were also Disney legends. They talked about Annette, who was one of the Mouseketeers, Mark and Alice Davis, Harriet Burns, Rolly Crump, Marty Sklar, Herb Ryman, John Hench, just to name a few. And they were all stories about these people that are things that, it was their personal stories.
Yeah.
So it was stuff that we had never heard. So, like, just for example, Annette, Kevin's story of how he met or, like, got to know Annette was her husband said that the Disney company wanted to get her a gift. And her husband said she wasn't really a gift person, but she had a cane that she really disliked. And it was kind of this terrible reminder of her, like, her health and her
Need for the cane.
And her need. It was metal, so she'd set off, you know, the metal detectors, and it was kind of not very comfortable and not very fun. It was just this bad, terrible reminder. So they said, if you could design a cane, so they did. So Kevin, and along with some other people at Disney, designed a cane for her that had all of her favorite characters on it, her favorite colors.
Stuff that she was involved in,
things that kind of, like, the Pineapple Princess, there was a little pineapple on it, all sorts of different stuff. So it was this very, very touching, very meaningful cane that Kevin got to help design for Annette. And then she was presented with it, and the first thing she said was, who is the person that did this? So then he got to get to know her because of that connection. So anyways, just really cool, really unique stories like that they shared with us.
Yeah, the sad thing was that he didn't have a good picture of it, which I think he was kicking himself a little bit, because they had a couple pictures of her with it,
yeah,
but there wasn't any good pictures of, like, just the cane itself.
Like, the details of the cane.
The one picture he did show, he said, I found this through a Google search.
Yeah. Which was kind of funny. That's cool that it ended up on Google.
Well, somebody found him. But yes, it was a very touching story, and learning kind of about, a little bit more about Annette through that story and stuff. There was some stuff in there that, like, I had never heard about Annette. In fact, I would say most of the people that they talked about, they were stories and about different things that, like, I had never heard of before. Yeah. So it was really great to hear. It's always good. That's one of the best things about Disney Anna, is going and hearing these stories or events or things that happen that there's no other place you would have heard any of this, because right. These are such personal stories. You know, it's not like they're at a media event or anything and this story happened. It's kind of like, oh, in our day-to-day workings with these people, mm-hmm. kind of stories. So, and of course, Kevin and Jody, Kevin was up on the stage, Jody wasn't up there, and Dennis, great storytellers.
Yeah.
Just listening to them and going through. And Dennis, I tried looking on the Disney Anna page. Dennis, we don't have his last name because he I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he got invited on with Kevin to do this presentation, because he's not on the official Disney Anna list. So I was trying to find that frantically while Teresa was talking about the stories.
So the next presentation was a Yoo-Hoo's Time with a Mouse, featuring none other than Caitlin Robrock, which if you listened to an episode last year, that name may sound very familiar. She was at the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, but Caitlin is the voice of none other than Minnie Mouse. But so it was really interesting. She talked about how, like, what her connection to Disney was. She was actually working at Disneyland when she first became Minnie Mouse, and there was an overlap of her working at the parks and being the voice of Minnie Mouse, which had to have been a fun kind of, like, little balancing act. But she was talking about just, like, the voiceover industry in general, kind of the different things that she did to get to where she was, and just kind of her love for the character, her love for the voices of Minnie before her, and, like, the rich history of the character.
I also felt her presentation and interview and everything reminded me a little bit of Terry Harden in a way, because a lot of what she talked about was kind of inspirational of, like, if you want to get into this type of business, here's what you should do.
Yep.
You should do these things. You should watch cartoon shows. You should try to mimic the voices. You should try to watch things without the sound on and trying to create a dialogue. And then also realizing that even though the voice of Minnie Mouse, you know, is the voice of Minnie Mouse, she still tries to book stuff at, you know, 90 out of 100 or 99 out of 100 things. You know, she goes and does all this audition for. And one thing that stuck with me, again, reminded me of Terry Harden, because when Terry Harden presented, it was all about, like, the positive aspects of it, like trying to stay positive, and just because you hit some roadblocks doesn't mean you should stop, and that everybody's, you know, has potential to do great things. She said that, you know, people ask all the time, like, are you disappointed when you do all these auditions and stuff? And she said, no, because for that time, I was that character. I did that character for that time of the audition or whatever. So it wasn't a failure. It was, and I thought that was really cool that all these people have these different perspectives to kind of keep going, and how where they come up with their fortitude, because I think a lot of people get disappointed hearing no all the time. It's a business that's, you hear a lot of no, and hearing how people deal with no and how they keep going and find success otherwise, I thought it was great. Also, her personality was great. She was fiery.
Mm-hmm. She was fun.
They were running out of time. They were running up against the clock, and she was very funny. She was teasing Michael, the next guest, which was Michael Vargo. He was out in the hallway getting prepared, and she was like, I know you're out there, Michael. You can just wait a second. I'm all done. But it was very funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. Very entertaining.
I wish she could have talked for like another hour.
Yeah.
I think it would have been amazing.
Great. She was great.
Speaking of which, the next person was Michael Vargo. And I got to learn a lot more, and I think Teresa did too, of his history. I didn't know his full history of the park. He had this beautiful slideshow talking about how he started working in Disneyland Entertainment in 1992 and how he kind of went through and did some broadcast stuff. He did the live like premiere of the Indiana Jones Adventure from Disneyland. He did a bunch of special events group, moving up to corporate special events, and then finally to where he is today, which is the head of the D23 fan club and the archives
and something to do with like the different like company stores. So
that was the
thing that I had learned was just the scope of what it is that he oversees. Because I knew for sure the Disneyland fan or the Disney, I knew for sure D23 and that he was involved with the Walt Disney Archives. I did not know about the shop, like the different like shopping parts of.
Yeah.
Of his career and his current role as well. So that was really fun. But he shared, his presentation was basically about D23 and the upcoming expo.
Before you talk about the details, I just want to talk about, obviously, Michael is very good at his job because he flew through this presentation and covered so much ground in a very short amount of time because he wanted to leave time for questions, which of course there were, but it didn't feel rushed.
No, not at all.
This is no surprise, but I just want to put it out there. He is very good at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed his whole presentation. Anyway, so what did he talk about?
So he was talking about all sorts of different aspects. Some of the stuff was things we had heard before, so some of it was kind of more refreshers, but other things were new. So one of the things that stood out to me that were new was we got to see like really good concept art of what it's going to look like at the Honda Center and what the stage is going to look like. The thing that was shocking to me, which now makes sense, is if you bought those floor seats, man, if you were in row one, you're dang near sitting on that stage. Like that is how close row one is. But the production value looks like it's going to be insane for the Honda Center events. He also talked about the show floor and highlights. So he kind of gave an overview of what the show floor is going to look like since now we don't have the giant hall. Hall D23 is not reserved for the mega, the big presentations. That's now part of the show floor. So we have a much more expanded show floor to look forward to. So he kind of showed what that's going to look
all
like.
All of these announcements, too, you could tell that Michael, and he talked fondly of his team.
Yes.
That him and his team are very proud of the changes for this year.
Yes.
You could tell that they firmly believe, whatever's going to happen, they firmly believe that this is going to be a better expo than it ever has been. And he straight up said to us numerous times on his presentation and afterwards when we talked to him that it may not seem like it sometimes, but they don't want you to spend time in lines.
No.
They want you to be experiencing the show and enjoying it. And you could tell that him and through him, his team really want this to be the best experience possible for everybody. So I know that there might be some hiccups, but keep that in mind when you're there, that there is a passionate team working on all of this stuff, and they truly do want it to be great. And that's really what I got from him, is you could see his passion.
Yes.
Because this is the first time we've seen him talk about D23, at least for me.
This is the first time you've seen him present just in general, because I saw him present at the Mouse Meet last year.
But even when he talked to us afterwards, you could tell, like, this means a lot to him.
Yes,
more. It's not just a job.
Yep. No, well, and that's the thing that's so beautiful about it.
Yeah.
He is a Disney fan. So the fact that a Disney, like, Disney fan through and through. So it's the fact that it's a Disney fan that's trying to create this and put this together for other Disney fans. You know, that's like, that's the right way to do it for sure. We also talked about what the different stages are going to be. So there's going to be for the presentations at the expo, the premiere stage, the Hyperion stage, the spotlight stage, the backlot stage, and of course, my favorite, the Walt Disney Archives stage. He did give us a sneak peek of some of the presentations coming to the archive stage. We've got Walt's famous trips to Latin America, a look back at New York's World Fair, and a conversation with Disney legends. So he said, think new Disney Legends, think former Disney Legends. So that, I think that's going to be a really, really great, really popular panel. And then we did have a Disneyana fan exclusive announcement. Pete Docter is going to be coming to the Walt Disney Archive stage. Again, my favorite stage. And he's going to be doing a presentation called Directing Disney with Pete Docter, which sounds like it's going to be amazing. And it sounded like Pete's going to also
two parts.
There's going to be a second presentation, which will be Pete talking about, he's coming out with a new book. So Pete Docter will be also talking about that as well.
But he said it was going to be directing movies and live action, but also directing animated stuff too, I think they were saying.
For those of you that don't know, Pete Docter is the chief creative officer of Pixar.
Oh, okay.
So what an incredible experience to be able to see him talk about and present.
Becky Klein was there. She presented a little bit later, but I wanted to mention this. That she commented on how every year that the archives have been part of the show, Michael Vargo has been gracious enough to give them more and more space,
yes,
and more space, and
love.
Add more and more stuff. And she said that this stage is bigger. It's going to hold more people.
Yes.
I think it's like double the capacity, it sounded like, somewhere
close
around there.
To, yep.
And there's going to be more programming at it. So
yep.
That's going to be
so I'm
amazing.
Really just going to be camping out and living there. I should have asked that. There was at the Q&A session, I should have said, can I just book a seat that I just am at this one stage the entire
right.
time? Because that would be perfectly fine with me. Who needs the Honda Center when you can have a reserved Walt Disney Archives seat?
Sure. We were talking to him a little bit afterwards, and we were joking with him about the ticket process. But we talked about the Anaheim Convention Center capacity because there's a lot of people there. And
there
he
are.
Said, just so you know, we don't fill it to capacity. Like, we could. The fire department says you could shove a bunch more people in there. But they are trying, again, this goes back to him and his team trying to make it the best experience, that they want it to be comfortable. And so that was cool to find out, too, because, I don't know, I feel like if I ran one of these things, I'd be like, let's pack them all in. So the fact that they're not trying to do that, I think, is great. And, again, goes to show they really are trying to make this the best experience for everybody, even though Teresa's just going to sit in on the archive stage all day.
I'm just going to take advantage of the one small corner.
I'm going to go wander the show floor, and I'll come back and see you at the
you'll
Honda stage. You'll have, like, a little tent or
the
something.
The Honda stage? You mean the,
sorry,
the Walt Disney Archive stage?
The archive stage. You'll be kind of hanging out in your little area.
Little...
I'll bring you snacks.
Perfect. That sounds perfect.
There you go.
And then he opened it up to a Q&A session afterwards. One of the big things that I hadn't seen talked about anywhere that we were talking about and wondering how it was going to work was someone had asked about what do we do with our stuff if we're going to the convention, you know, if we're at the convention center all day and we're going to go to the Honda Center at night, because the Honda Center has a policy that, like, just like these very small bags can come in. You cannot bring shopping bags. You cannot bring backpacks. You can't even bring, like, normal regular sized purses, just these very small, almost.
And that's
like,
the Honda Center,
yeah,
not Disney.
That's the Honda Center's policy. So Michael did say they are trying to figure out what to do about that. They're aware that that's an issue, which I was actually, again, goes back to what you were saying, Tag. This is not really something that's necessarily D23's quote unquote problem.
Yeah.
But they're
trying to work
still
with
trying
it.
To figure out a way to help solve it, which I thought was incredible. They're looking at doing something like renting temporary lockers and bringing the lockers out so you can put your stuff in lockers.
Nothing locked down yet, but that's what they're trying to work on.
They're talking about different things of what they might do.
Yeah.
Because, like, a bag check thing probably would be chaotic and a lot versus, like, if you think about, like, the lockers at Disneyland where you just, like,
that's
type
chaotic,
in your little
yeah.
code. No, but, like, you just type in your code, you go to your locker, whatever. Bag check, it's this whole, like,
right.
tag system that they'd have to have an army of people trying to help manage and store. But anyway, so that I thought was interesting. They were also talking, there's lots of questions about transportation. How
he did clarify, because we even had that question, and one of the things he specifically said, because people, there was some confusion, was you will get transportation from the convention center to the Honda Center and back.
And back, yep.
Because some people were like, well, are you just going to drop us off there? Which, I mean,
I never
considered that, but I could see how it wasn't specifically written out in black and white, so he clarified that. Also, one tidbit that he mentioned, I think, as part of the question about all the merch, because people were like, there's all this stuff we buy, what are we going to do with it? Was... he said the first expo had almost no shopping, and I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
either. And everybody
He's
was like, where can we buy stuff?
He basically said, oh, people aren't coming here to shop. Like, we're going to put all, like, there's going to be all these cool things to do, see, and experience. And yeah, apparently they got a lot of feedback. Where's the shopping? Where's the store? Where's the stuff? So obviously they remedied that.
Again, cares about the fans, was
Listen
thinking about the
fan
stuff
yep.
first, not just trying to get money from people.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Look at that. I was very, exactly. I thought that was really cool. I don't know. I just learned a lot of these things that I'm like, they really do care
yeah.
and really are putting a lot of effort in this. And I can't stress that enough.
It's one of those things that we kind of have to remember. It's easy to get very like, well, they should do this or they should do that. You know, it's very easy to get into that mindset, but you got to think these jobs that these people do that have to figure out how to make this whole work. I cannot wrap my head around how they do this
yeah.
because it is a ton of people. So there's a reason for things that they do the way they do things. Some of those things they may not be able to share as to why they do it that way, but it sounds like that they kind of sit down and have discussions trying to always think, how can we make this better? How can we make this smoother? How can we improve upon these processes? With also, what limitations do we have? What can we do? And just the sheer volume of things. So I will say from our experience, this will now be our third expo, just things like the ticket buying process from the first time to the second time to the third time has gotten smoother and smoother and smoother. Were there hiccups this year? Yes, there were. But
they changed so much about it.
Nothing like before. And I think the hiccups this year were more just, it's new types of tickets, so it's trying to, you know, navigate and figure that out for us personally.
Yeah.
But same thing even with the expo from year one, 2019 to 2022, that was a much different, smoother experience for us. So I'm expecting this to be an even smoother, better experience going forward. The thing that I'm looking forward to that they're adding this year is with the panels, you can make reservations for panels ahead of time so that you know you have a seat. There will be some limited standby for the panels at the expo, at the expo itself during the daytime. But if you get a reservation and something comes up and you're not going to be able to make it, you can cancel that reservation, so it opens it back up for someone else to grab later that is interested in whatever the panel was. So I thought that was really nice, because last expo they had the reservations, but there wasn't a way to cancel them if you got them. So if you got something and then found, oh, it clashes with this time that I wanted to do this other thing instead, you still have that reservation. So I think that'll help the process too.
Yeah.
So moving on from D23, of course, there's going to be tons of
I just want to say
tons.
One more thing before we move on, which was exactly what Teresa said, but he specifically pointed out that him and his team, if in a lot of ways, he did admit that there was a couple things that people brought up that he's like, oh, that would be interesting. I'll bring it back to the team and see what we can do. But he's like, we have talked about almost every facet of this from all these different angles, trying to come up with this. So, like Teresa said, sometimes they rule stuff out because it's just not feasible, or it interacts with something else, or they have limitations, or whatever. But his team works hard to look at everything.
Yeah.
It's not that they haven't done something. It's sometimes it's just not possible or whatever. But I just really appreciate the amount of effort they're putting in.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that people appreciate that, because everybody,
again, it's easy to be negative and say, oh, well, they should have done it this way, or, oh, this was a disaster. But,
exactly.
But, yeah, there is a lot of thought and a lot of heart that goes into this.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Exactly.
So, speaking of heart, that this evening, for the evening, we had the honorees that were being awarded with different Disney Anna rewards. First, we had Jeffrey Barnes, who's a Disney historian, college professor, and motivational speaker, who was awarded the Heritage Award from Disney Anna for all of his work. He's just a big, well, first of all, big Disney fan, but has kind of turned it into something different. He has made it into, like, inspirational quotes and kind of, like, looking at Disneyland as a classroom and, like, just looks at it, appreciates it for what it is, but also has, like, looks at it as what you can apply from Disney into, like, your personal life, into the real world, however you know, which into your business, into your whatever. So He was really, really fascinating to listen to. Mm-hmm. He's written a couple of books as well.
Which I bought.
Yes.
As we were sitting there. Yeah, he did great. He's one of the guys that did a university like course on Walt Disney and Disneyland. And he's a big Walt fan. He knows a lot about Walt's like life. And he also was one of those people that talked about failure and picking yourself back up and moving on. And he said that was one of the keys to Walt's success is when something didn't work or he was told that it wouldn't work or he couldn't do it. He just continued to try to persevere, and that's how we ended up with all the stuff we have now, because he knew, Walt knew, that it was going to be a good thing to keep trying. And sometimes when things didn't work, he learned those lessons and improved it for the next time, which eventually did make things work. So the two books that he has is The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, and a second book called Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, Life Lessons from the Most Magical Place on Earth. And that one talks more about like Epcot and some of the things going into Epcot, which he told us something that I had never heard before, which is Walt had talked about in Epcot, the city of Epcot, not the theme park it is today, that he had picked out a bench that him and Lillian were going to sit and in retirement and enjoy all of this.
Basically.
So that was really kind of interesting and everything as well. So great speaker. We hope to have him on the show at some point. He has a ton of Walt knowledge, which I think is fantastic.
And last but not least, we got to hear from Becky Klein, or Rebecca Klein, who a lot of you probably already know, but she is like the head of the Disney archives. But she's also a Disney historian, author, and then her official title is director of the Walt Disney Archives, which is in itself no small feat, because the Walt Disney Company, since she's been working for the company, has like, in her own words, exploded.
Yeah.
And what the archives have done the same, because when she first started, she said it was mostly like print and paper materials, and they had like one rack of costumes. Well, now they have warehouses and warehouses and warehouses and just like more,
and multiple studios where this stuff
all the different studios have kind of fallen under her as well, so it's just exploded. So what did they say? There's like something like 40.
She corrected herself. She said 42 full-time people, and then she said we just hired 44. Two more, so it's 44 now.
Yeah, 44 people
that directly full-time work with the archives,
which is amazing. I think she said two may have been tents just to help out, but still.
And
over
she said,
40 people.
Not just in Southern California either. She said they've got people in Florida, they got people in New York doing all of this stuff. It's a huge thing. She said that there's a team. I thought this number was crazy. She said they had digitized over 300,000 photos for the library. And she said, but that's okay because there's like how many millions of photos?
Like, I don't remember, like 2.5 million or something.
Yeah. So she's like, they've got a long time before this project is done. Yeah. And they've been working to get all of these things in there. She talked about how the archives have really expanded to do all these things like the Disney 100 expositions in two different places.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. So when she first started at Disney and then when she started the archives was just like something for the company. So Becky is one of the reasons that we see exhibits and that we, because she's talking about how the archives are, you know, yes, it's the history for the company, but it's also like, you know, it's our archives. The archives are there to be shared with the fans also. So she's been the reason that they have the displays that are at the D23 Expos, and like Tag was mentioning, the different traveling displays. And again, that was kind of another like throwback to the days of Walt. The archives didn't know how to like travel museum exhibits. They were doing little exhibits on like the studio lot.
Yeah.
But they didn't know how to, like, do a big exhibit somewhere and how to, like, get it from point A to point B.
She said they did, like, Walt. She's like, we just figured it out.
They figured it out. They just did it. So, anyways, so we all know that the current exhibit right now is the Disney 100 exhibit that has, it is a five-year traveling exhibit. Currently, it is in Chicago. It's making its way to Kansas City, I believe, is the next stop.
And I think it's in London right now because it was in Munich, Germany, which is where I had seen it last summer. So that's also still moving around.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they're going to have so much more square footage at the D23 Expo this year. And they're very excited to do all the vehicles.
It's vehicles, yeah.
Because they have a ton of vehicles that they've not really had
what
a great opportunity to show all those.
A great, big, beautiful car show.
Yeah.
So you're thinking vehicles from film. You're thinking vehicles from the parks, perhaps.
Like, ride vehicles, they said, even.
Yeah, so expand your thought process of car show.
They it's said not, there's going to be an old show. Parking lot tram yep. there. So yep. I'm thinking where we are sitting now was the parking lot,
yep.
not what's going between Mickey and Friends now. So that is going to be amazing. They said it's going to be great to finally have the space to be able to show off those bigger items.
She told us that the archives has a tank. I don't know if the tank's coming. I don't think the tank's coming.
No.
But she was just joking about how, like...
She giggled. She said, I have a tank.
I have a tank. Yeah. It was just so funny. But yeah.
She also... I know I shouldn't be surprised by this, but she also was a wonderful speaker.
Yeah. Very kind.
Very kind. She did get a little...
Very caring.
Choked up at the end. What did she get choked up about? I don't remember.
So the final question was preserving Walt's legacy is what the final question had to do with. And so and it's very important to her. Clearly, that's her whole career has been devoted to preserving the rich history of the company. And she even said, like, she really wants to make sure that Walt doesn't get left out of Disney and that Walt is always part of Disney. Because, hello, it's Walt Disney, you know? So a lot of people, there might be a point, and there are probably people out there today that don't realize that Disney isn't a company. It's also a person. It was a man. So very, very amazing.
She also answered one of your questions, which I think some of our listeners might have, too.
Oh, yes. So they were doing a signing afterwards, and so I asked Becky... Since we just had the Mark and Alice Davis auction of some of their personal things from their home, I asked, how does that work? Whenever these auctions come up, do the archives get some sort of, like, first right of refusal? How does that work? How do you kind of acquire some of these things from other collections, personal collections and whatnot, back, you know, and kind of get it back into the archives? And she said, we're just like everyone else. We get to sit there and bid and, you know, outbid. And she's like, and I've got budget, so of course I'm only able to bid a certain amount. She's like, there's a lot of stuff that I've actually really wanted to get for the archives that I haven't been able to because some of the collectors' pockets are deeper than our pockets are even. So,
but she's also said that some people have bought things for the archives,
true.
Which is also nice.
There have been people that will donate directly to the archives to kind of, again, help keep that history preserved and that legacy.
Again, another lovely Disneyana event.
It's incredible. Incredible.
The next day was the show and sale. And as always, lots of vendors there. People that you've heard on the podcast before were there again. Terry Harden had a booth. Rick Law had a booth.
Mm-hmm. Our friends from We're in the Park were there.
Yep. Great experience again. Lots of merchandise and different things, collectibles. It reminded me that I need to get frames for my e-ticket or my ticket book that I bought last year or last Expo. Yeah, there were some new faces there that we saw doing
some
booths and
friends,
stuff. Yeah, so we're excited to hopefully share some of those folks with you in the future.
So the Disneyana show and sale is it is a collector's dream because it is tons and tons of Disney merch. We try and treat it more like a museum because our bank accounts and our spaces in our houses just can't possibly accommodate all the things that we would want. But there's so many cool things. Like we saw things that we had never even seen before. There are these gold plated looking tickets, basically. One of them was Jungle Cruise themed on the front, and then the back side it was like a ticket booth it was like an e-ticket. There was one that was Haunted Mansion themed, of course. I'm trying to think what the third one was themed. But
there was a Jungle Cruise one, a train one, and a Haunted Mansion one.
So, and like, those were things that we had never seen, and apparently it was, oh yeah, you could have, these were for sale at Walt Disney World, whatever. I'm like, wow. But, I mean, Disney's just so great, especially recently, with all of the merch that they've been pumping out that it's hard to keep track.
One of the amazing things, now we've seen the Droid Builder people there before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But one of them built what I would consider like life-size Rex, not DJ Rex, but Rex from Star Tours, who was roaming around the show floor.
So cool.
Made noise, very movable. Teresa took a little video. Did you share that to our Instagram?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, it'll probably end up on our Instagram, so you can go see that. It was some of these people that have, well, even some of the products they've created. I mean, even our friends, like, we're at the park, like, somebody had this, or you know, they have these ideas, and they just make them happen, and they end up at these, like, show and sales, and you're like, wow. So the creativity, the ingenuity, the engineering,
the
all of that. Passion. There was a whole legion of TIE fighter pilot people dressed up. There was Princess Leia walking around. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It's a fun fan event. Definitely not to the same scale of things like the D23 Expo, which nothing can be to the scale of the D23 Expo.
Well, how could
in
it?
In terms of, you know, just Disney-specific stuff. But it's a really fun fan event. So
it's amazing that Disney even gets a D23 together as well as they do.
Yeah. So if you ever have a chance, we highly recommend that you check out the Disneyana show and sale, as well as our personal favorite, the Disneyana. We're just going to call it the event. It's always the Saturday before, but it's their awards event.
Totally worth it. If you want to be in the room with important people in the Disney universe, and if you want to be able to just say hi or get an autograph, because they are very approachable.
Well, and like, so for example, for dinner, we were told that there were going to be some special guests seated at our table. Well, one of the special guests was Willie Ito, who just was named a Disneyana legend. I think last year sometime. I don't remember if it was spring or fall. And his big thing that he did, he was an animator for Disney, but like the big iconic thing that he did was he was the one that created and animated the spaghetti scene in Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
And there he is just sitting at our table. We're just chit-chatting, having a good old time.
He's funny.
And he's hilarious. He's so much fun. So we kept joking that we have the fun table, and then all of a sudden Willie showed up, and they were like, well, now we definitely have the fun table. He's just a hoot. So I want to give a special shout out to a couple of weekly tiers that we saw there and got to hang out and chat with for a while. So shout out to all the weekly tiers that we got to see at the Disneyana event. Yep. It was very fun to see you there. I'm hoping you all had a good time, just like we did.
And then right afterwards, we left and we went over to... We were a little early. We kind of wrapped up a lot earlier than we expected to. And we came back over to the resort. We had time, so we ate at Earl of Sandwich. Always good. Still in their current location, which we thought for sure they'd be over in the new location by now, but they were not. And we had a little bit of time, so we decided to go into Disneyland and just take a Grand Circle tour of the park, which is where Teresa made the tree comment in New Orleans Square. We went around. It was great to see the park again from the train. And then we went to our meetup, which was sad because we got over to the grass and they had a Pele soccer event going on there.
It was a big,
so we had
a pivot. Event.
And we found a lovely space between the Star Wars trading post and the monorail station, which worked out beautifully. It was in the shade.
Yep.
It was away from stuff. We could see all the cheering from the Pele stuff occasionally.
We could see the fun happening over at the soccer. I think there was a soccer game going on.
Yeah.
And they also had a couple of players, I believe, come out and kind of like greet the crowd, whatever. It sounded like the soccer fans that were over there were just having the time
they
of
were.
Their life.
They so, were. So yeah. for it was a lot of new weekly tiers this time that we had never met before. So
thank you all
for coming. We had a great time. We got a nice group photo with a lot of people there.
I was so proud of us that we actually remembered to do the group photo before half the group left.
Yes.
That's usually when we remember to do it.
We're bad at that.
So thank you everyone for taking some time to come out and say hi and spend a little time with us and let us get to know you better.
Yeah. Then we went into DCA and we got some of the Food and Wine Fest food that we had had before, because we were having a stream that night that we were going to try some of the new stuff. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to try to get some of the stuff that we'd already eaten before that wouldn't be that exciting for you guys to hear about a second time. And we were able to do that. And of course it was good like before. And we kind of just bopped around in the park a little bit until about stream time, where I waited in line for about 20 minutes to get the cannoli churro, which was pretty good. The line just moved a little slow, but the churro itself was good. We talked about it on our live stream, which you can find on our YouTube page, youtube.com/DLWeekly. And then we tried some of the other food on the stream as well.
Yeah, so some of the things that we tried before the stream, we went over to Delish. Actually, just am now realizing we just ordered the entire menu. We had the Huckleberry Citrus
Cooler. Because it was Delish.
We had the Huckleberry Citrus Cooler. I gave that a 4 out of 5. It was good. There was like kind of a, like a, some, it must have been the Huckleberry flavor in there that was kind of almost like, it reminded me of like a mint flavory.
Okay.
Or like a thyme or something like that. I really liked it. It was refreshing. I think if it was like a warm day, like hot sunny day, it would have been like even better. Tag did not enjoy it as much.
Too tart.
He thought it was too tart, so he did only give that a 2 out of 5.
Spoiler alert, that's the theme of the drinks for the Food and Wine Fest.
And then we also tried the returning favorite of ours, the Carbonara Mac and Cheese. Of course, 5 out of 5.
I actually thought it was better this year.
Carbonara Mac and Cheese is always a winner. And then we went and tried the olive oil cake, which... Tag was kind of not wanting to try because even though it doesn't say it in the title, but it does have a lemon flavor to it. But Tag, what did you think of the olive oil cake?
Oh, man. So this...
Okay, first of all, what were your reserves about the olive oil cake?
So I had heard that some people had said it wasn't that great or whatever, and I'm not a lemon person, so I thought... I'm not going to eat it because I don't like lemon. And a lot of times lemon is very overpowering and I just don't like that. However, I fully expected Teresa to eat the whole thing and I was just going to take one bite. But we split it because it was really good. It was moist.
It's very delicate.
It was... I didn't think it had a lemon taste. I thought it was more of just a general citrus taste, which you said it might be
I think it may have been like a Meyer lemon because okay. Meyer lemons are a little bit more sweet than just like your generic lemon.
Sure. So, thought it was great. The little thing that looks like an ice cube on the top taste like anything,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, no, but it's just fun theming or decor.
But we ended up ordering a second one of those today, spoiler alert. I ordered whatever. I shared it with you and other people with us.
I'm just saying, you were going to get it no matter what because you liked it that much.
I was, and it was great. What else did we...
So those are the things that we tried pre-stream.
Sure.
If you're interested in seeing us try some of the other items live to see our, quote-unquote live, to see our reactions in real time, we also went over to the Earth Eats booth and tried the Impossible Chicken Parm Bites, as well as LA style, getting the Baja fish taco, as well as the carnita style pork belly.
And the last thing on our...
The churro.
The very last thing on our list that we still have to get is the frozen old fashioned, which we will get right after we record this, actually. So that'll be very exciting.
We'll talk through what Food and Wine Festival items we ate today during our park day to kind of finish up the list. So tune in next week to catch what the rest of our food items were and our thoughts on those. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to our kind of special episode this week since we're not really reporting on the news itself since we're at the parks, enjoying the parks, but...
Who's the band that plays that we're listening to now?
Five and Dime.
Five and Dime just showed up, so we're going to check them out. We're going to go get Teresa's frozen old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned. I'm calling it my adult popsicle.
So, until next week...
We're going to go enjoy the parks.
We are.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.